This is Logan Sekulow. Is there a meltdown at the State Department? 15,000 new emails found and more news on the State Department video editing scandal.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The fact is we don't know. And I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm not trying to be lighthearted about this. We did conduct an investigation. We conducted over 30 interviews. We looked at the email records we could. You know, we did an honest appraisal of what we could do in terms of finding out what happened here. And we didn't find a smoking gun here. There's no clear indication that this was done with malicious intent.
He said no evidence. He didn't say clear evidence one way or the other. The point is, this person recalls the request for the edit, citing that exchange. So we can't rule out that that was in fact the basis for the request, correct?
I think we can't rule in or out.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Brand new emails that have now been uncovered, phone records that match up with them and expose deep ties between the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton's State Department.
Cheryl Mills was a longtime confidant of the Clintons, and her office fielded inquiries from a wide cross-section of people seeking the secretary's ear. By an exponential factor, however, the greatest number of messages, 148 in all, were left by Laura Graham, then the chief operating officer for the Clinton Foundation. One of Graham's messages referenced our boss without identifying that individual. Elsewhere, Graham referenced former President Clinton, using his initials in a message that read, "Please call. WJC is looking for her," meaning Graham, "and she wants to talk to you," meaning Mills, "before she talks to him."
Secretary Clinton's ethics agreement at the time did not preclude other State Department officials from engaging with or having contact with the Clinton Foundation.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Well, there is new information about missing emails from Hillary Clinton, new information about top-level donors of the State Department, including the Crown Prince. This is Bahrain's Crown Prince Salman. Received an audience with Clinton after donating $32 million to her foundation, to the Clinton Foundation. This was after the wall was supposed to be in place that none of this would happen. An investigation by the State Department's top attorney. We broke this after the broadcast yesterday. We stayed over on Facebook and Periscope. The attorney found that the official who ordered the censorship of the 2013 press briefing, deleting the Fox News portion of it, where Fox News reporter James Rosen, who, by the way, is going to be a guest on our broadcast coming up, that was specifically mentioned to edit that out. So, Logan, this whole idea that this was a glitch was a false narrative, and John Kirby lied on Friday to the American people.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been a false narrative the whole time. Everyone has said, if you're all in any sort of video production, if you've ever edited a video on your home computer, cutting together a slideshow for your kid's wedding, something like that, you know how to do this. It's not like it's editing magic or trick. It's a one-button click. Good to go. Okay, there's the edit. And, it's not something that's difficult. It's not something that's hard. But it's something that has to be done. It can't just happen.
All right, so, Jordan, this is interesting. The fact became clear from the legal report. But In the Office of Legal Advisors, the entire report basically ignored what the legal department found to be this intentional act. And, by the way, obviously they know who did it now, too. So that wasn't true, saying we can't figure out who did it.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, so we now know that the FBI, DOJ has figured out, and through the internal review board. And I will tell you, these inspector generals are better. That's what I was getting right to. Better than the FBI and DOJ under this administration, because they're appointed staggeredly, so that sometimes these IGs may have been appointed by the Bush administration. They're not necessarily friends of the Obama liberal agenda. But they're completely nonpartisan. They look at government problems and government fraud and government lies. They investigate the State Department, but they do not report to the Secretary of State or the President of the United States. They are independent, and they have found, and which means to me, believe, Dad, I think I'm correct here, that means that they know who it is. They
of
just
course
haven't released the name yet.
That's exactly right. And if they tell us they don't, they're not telling the truth. Something else here. Remember this. Secretary Clinton promised that there would be no special access and special favors. Well, now we've got 150-plus emails, phone log records, actually, between the Clinton Foundation and the State Department to the heads of the State Department. We're going to talk about this when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. We're taking your calls. How outraged are you? Should this impact the election? Donald Trump says get a special prosecutor. 1-800-684-3110. And also multiple ways to get your comments
That's
in.
That's right. We're broadcasting live streaming video. And we're talking to you during the breaks on Facebook, Periscope, and ACLJ.org.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
All right, I'm going to play for you a comment from Mark Toner yesterday, the State Department spokesperson. Then Jordan is going to lay out for you exactly what has happened since then. But let me start it before we get into that. Folks, we talk about this problem. There is corruption at the State Department, at the highest levels of government. That same is true with the IRS. So what did we do with the IRS? We sued them. We won. Now, this, you can't, or on radio, you can hear it. On Facebook and Periscope and ACLJ.org, you can see it. American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States State Department. And it's on this Iran deal and this glitch, as they call it. And we have gone to federal court to get justice here because we're certainly not going to rely on the United States Department of Justice. That's for sure. Here's Mark Toner yesterday.
Secretary Clinton's ethics agreement at the time did not preclude other State Department officials from engaging with or having contact with the Clinton Foundation.
So let me tell you what that means. Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin had hundreds of contacts with the State Department, mostly facilitating special requests, which they didn't, which Hillary Clinton said we weren't going to do, with, guess what, major donors of the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, that's right. We talked yesterday about how a soccer player from not even a Premier League team in England, but one of the Championship leagues, so below the Premier League, and if you follow, you know, that football, that's the kind of the Triple A, if you will, I believe, or it may even be the Double A league. It's and so they got this request from an individual named Casey Wasserman, major donor, big investor to the Clinton Foundation. Okay, so he says, can you get him a special visa? Interesting about this soccer player, one, he has a criminal record. That could, of course, cause visa troubles. But interesting point, part two, the soccer team, which is called the Wolverhampton Wanderers. This is, again, this is not a top team in the UK. But guess who they're owned by? They are owned by a company. So, again, you look at this, you say, oh, it's owned by Fosun International. Guess what that is? A Chinese conglomerate. Guess who one of the people who runs that, the founder and owner of that Chinese conglomerate, Gao Gancheng, major donor to the Clinton Foundation. So even through multiple channels, see, they took a guy in L.A. who probably works in sports, who then knew the guy in China. They've all given money to get a special visa for a soccer player who probably could have gone through the normal process, but he had this criminal background. That is the violation of this section of the law, Dad, exactly that we were talking about. It is pay for play at its worst. Yeah, special treatment for people who have no real special reason to be in America. It's not like he needed to be here for some event.
Look, if this was the former Secretary of State, you would say she violated the ethics rules. She should be held accountable. Here's the issue, though. She's running for president of the United States and is the Democratic nominee for president. And if the election was today, she might well win. Yep. So I asked this question to Than during the break. We filed a lawsuit. But Than, does any of this stick in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I think it will, and it goes to what Jordan was just saying. Listen, those same individuals, those same corporations, Jay, there's a reason they are not permitted to give to campaigns in the United States. It's so that they don't have undue influence when said individual or said candidate then becomes Secretary of State or President of the United States. I think this is going to stick. There are going to be hearings in the Oversight Committee next month. There are going to be hearings in the Judiciary Committee. And listen, all of these spokesmen, there have been numerous of them now who have said there is no evidence of intent or no evidence of special access or no evidence of pay to play. There is abundant evidence of all of that. And Jay, the lawsuit that we filed in the deletion, that is due a response in about a week. We're going to have more evidence soon.
You know, you take all of this, and Harry Hutchison, our director of public policy, our director of policy, pointed this out. So, and Wall Street Journal reports today that when Bill and Hillary get caught, it's the same pattern. They get caught, they first deny, then call it old news, then roll out the attack machine on the media and the political allies in order to trash their opponents. The private email Clinton Foundation scandal is now in phase three. And I think that's right. Since the devil is not available for blame, the Clintons have drafted Colin Powell as roadkill. Why? Because she said she had a conversation with Colin Powell to set this up. Of course, none of that ends up being true per guess who? Colin Powell. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls here.
All right, let's go ahead. A lot of people have been called in, and there is a line open, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Susan's calling in Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for everything that you're doing.
Yep.
My question is, why isn't anybody trying to ask her to step down from running for president of the United States, most especially in light of these recent emails?
Because she says this is the right-wing attack. And which is not true, because 15,000 people, 15,000 missing emails. We don't even know if those are part of the 30,000 she deleted, by the way. And she's the Democratic nominee for president. She won the nomination process. So having conservatives call for her to step down obviously isn't going to do action. I think that's the reality here. That's not going to happen. So what happens now is, does this issue, as it continues to roll out every day, and I think there's two risks on this, does it A, become so routine that there's a new issue on the email scandal every day that it just doesn't mean anything? Or is the cumulative effect of this so significant that it either affects her at the ballot box or before then? I don't think it affects her before then. Does it affect her at the ballot box? That's the body politic making that determination. And right now the question is the cumulative effect on this going to have an impact?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately in a regular election cycle, Hillary Clinton would be done. I mean, we're not trying to take partisan sides, Republican versus Democrat, but Hillary Clinton would no longer be a viable candidate. I think this would already be over pre-debates, post-conventions, and polls may still show. I mean, we're a pretty divided country, so there's going to be plenty of people who would vote for her, but she would not have a path to victory at this point. But for Donald Trump being such a non-traditional candidate who is not going to necessarily easily carry some of the red states that most Republican presidential candidates are able to rely on. For instance, you've got a third-party challenger now who's really just focusing in Utah. He's a Mormon as well, big Mormon population.
Right.
If Utah were to go to an independent, let's say, or he took so many votes away that Hillary Clinton somehow carried it, I mean, that would be it for Republicans. Mm-hmm. So we're living in a different paradigm this election cycle. And so where
so Hillary, for the Democrats, they're glad a third party's getting in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything is happening to, I think, that Hillary Clinton could wish for. Donald Trump, who is not yet probably appealing to independents. I don't think he's made that pivot yet, unless it's a silent majority. And he certainly has that group and had it in the primaries. So you've got that. You've got these third party, like whether it's Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, whether it's the Green Party, whether it's this individual in Utah who's just focusing there. This is the perfect storm for Hillary Clinton because of the perfect storm she's facing. For a normal campaign, she would probably be the weakest candidate in the field. And right now, she's actually still the strongest, which is almost, it's just shocking. But I think we all have a duty to get educated. I mean, if this was about Donald Trump, we'd be talking about right now.
Sure.
But you know what? Donald Trump, his business dealings, like it or not, he's a tough guy. No one's complaining like this about him, ever.
But the New York Times.
And he wasn't a government official.
But there, I mean, you do have some major headlines that are starting
Washington Post,
I mean, you
New
got
York Times.
Judge orders immediate review of 14,900 emails. That's the Wall Street Journal. You've got, and the emails on the offering the Bahrain Crown Prince 10 o'clock meeting tomorrow. This comes through the, by the way, it wasn't where the Crown Prince made a request for a meeting with the State Department, and the State Department said, yes, he's the Crown Prince of Bahrain. That would have been made perfect sense.
Yeah.
But no, instead, they go through
The Clinton Foundation.
The Clinton Foundation. So people understand what's happening here. Almost head of state, Crown Prince, I mean, one of the royalty of a state, is going through the Clinton Foundation to get a meeting with the State Department. Why are they doing that? Let's think, what are the possible answers to that? Could it be that the State Department is basically giving them no treatment, silent treatment, so that they know that they've got to pay to play? And that, I think, Than is worthy of Congress, now whether they'll do it or not at this late date, engaging in an oversight hearing on, because that is absurd. The Crown Prince of Bahrain should have been able to get a meeting.
Well, in fact, I think these emails, Jay, are the most evidence of that yet, because remember, one of the emails in there says he's already put in a request through normal channels and hasn't been successful.
Right.
You know, lo and behold, as soon as there's a donation made to the Clinton Foundation, they get access. I do think there will be hearings on this. Ultimately, of course, Jordan's right. It's a question for the American voters. And in a normal cycle, I think this candidate would be done. I will say this, though. Almost 80 days left. The more information that comes out, the more opportunities Donald Trump and other people have to talk about these issues. I do think it's going to have an impact.
And let me add, as Stan said, this Crown Prince, who should be able to get a meeting with the Secretary of State, a major U.S. ally, especially right. with the battles we face. It's a good... Actually, a good Islamic country that's also been facing attacks from Iran. You know, Iran's been backing Shia rebels there to cause a lot of trouble in Bahrain. Are these perfect? No, they're kingdoms, but they've been relatively stable and great U.S. allies. I've visited a lot of these countries in the Gulf, and I have to tell you, I feel safe there, and I also feel like they do love Americans. We have our U.S. Marines based in a lot of these countries, but they face terrorism as well, Iranian-backed.
Yep.
But the fact is, as a Middle Easterner from a Gulf state, which he is, he put in that normal request, didn't get a response. It is not unusual for him in his part of the world to say, well, maybe I need to do something to get this meeting.
Right.
You know, they're very wealthy, these kingdoms. So I'll make a large donation to the Clinton Foundation because I really need to have this meeting handled, because there was a time period when the Obama administration was putting a lot of pressure on Bahrain because they responded aggressively to the Shia-backed, Iranian-backed rebels that were causing so much trouble. I mean, basically trying to start a civil war because of workers from Iran in their country. So he said, well, I've got to pay to get this meeting. Don't blame him. It's the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah. By the way, evidence now emerges that several years ago, Iran threatened to walk away from the nuclear deal negotiations if the U.S. attacked Bashar Assad. By the way, Iran issues a travel warning. A travel warning is issued by the State Department. Guess where they don't want Americans to go? Iran. No kidding. Why? More kidnappings. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
We also notice Iran kicked Russia out of their military bases because of their internal Islamic extremist pressure.
Yeah, there you go. A lot to talk about coming up on the next segment of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be joined by James Rosen. Don't forget our matching challenge at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Well, you try to get answers to questions because the questions sometimes are so unbelievable on what's happening that it shatters the, you can't make this stuff up. As I mentioned in the first segment of the broadcast, we have filed a Freedom of Information Act request on the exchange between our friend who's going to be on with us in just a second here from Fox News, James Rosen, and the State Department. They refused to respond, so we have filed an action in federal court on that. But yesterday, this issue on the editing of this glitch in the video really came to light when the legal department came to a little bit of a different conclusion than certainly what has been being put forward by the State Department. Joining us right now is Fox News Washington senior correspondent James Rosen. James, it seems like the hits keep on coming. Tell us what you've got here and what you sense the impact of it.
Thanks for having me, Jay. Are we still on the Iran briefing video or the different subject?
Iran briefing video is okay. Great, or we can go to a different subject as well, whatever's
start
best
with that
for you.
Because it's ripe for discussion, especially since you were kind enough to have me on last week to discuss it. We have now got our hands on the official report compiled by the Office of the Legal Advisor. That's the top attorney at the Department of State. They looked into this matter in response to the controversy that developed when it was discovered that 8 minutes of a 2013 State Department press briefing video had been deleted, including the entirety of my exchange on that date in December 2013 with Jen Psaki, then the spokeswoman, in which, to most observers, she appeared to condone lying to the news media to protect the secrecy of the Iran talks. The legal advisor at the State Department interviewed some 34 people, reviewed a lot of emails and other kinds of documents, and in the end, kind of reversed course for the State Department, which in itself it had already reversed course. At first they said it was a glitch, then they said, no, this was a deliberate erasure, and we're very embarrassed by it, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. And now the State Department's top attorney, having investigated it all, says, we can't tell if it was a glitch or if it was a willful act. And what's interesting is that Admiral Kirby, the spokesman at the State Department today, this past Thursday, when he briefed out the findings of this report before we were allowed to see it, he omitted a very important fact. He said that there was no evidence whatsoever to indicate who placed the call or why. But the report itself, if you read it closely, states in a section that's called, it's captioned, Evidence of Purposeful Editing. It says that the person who received the phone call from a superior State Department official, the actual culprit, the person who received that phone call saying, make this edit, didn't recall any particular reason being given for the edit, but did recall that the person who ordered the edit did mention a Fox News reporter and Iran.
Yeah.
Now, for Admiral Kirby to say there's no evidence why this edit was made, here's the one piece of evidence we do have, and even the State Department's own report puts it in a section called Evidence of Purposeful Editing.
But this, James, goes to the point of the really, I mean, if you were looking at if this was a criminal proceeding, you'd be looking at obstruction of justice here. I mean, the idea that the Office of Legal Counsel of the State Department, the Office of Legal Advisor, finds this information, has the heading, as you mentioned, evidence of, and then puts the evidence in there. They still haven't identified who the person was. Fox News and a reporter mentioned by name, and then they think, did they think the American people are just going to take this? I mean, that this is just going to be business as usual?
What's fascinating, you raise the legal implications. If the Department of State were willing to acknowledge that these videotapes, these video files of these briefings that they shoot with a taxpayer-purchased camera, they're shot by State Department technicians, uploaded by State Department technicians to a State Department website and so on. If the Department of State were willing to admit that these are federal records, then they might have an even bigger problem on their hands because the Federal Records Act makes it a crime, a federal crime, to tamper with a federal record.
Right.
And I've gone around and around with the State Department in this as well. I did get them to admit yesterday, yes, our State Department videos of these briefings are in fact audiovisual records of the briefing. But then they said to me, that doesn't mean that they're official records. I said, how could it be? The unofficial record
of
the State Department briefing is shot by the news agencies. The official record is shot by
the agency,
the people who hold the office.
Of course.
It's really kind of Kafkaesque at times.
Yeah, it really is. And we're going to get into this legal definition of what constitutes official acts for the Federal Record Keepings Act, because we've litigated some of those issues before. So this is a big one, but the hits keep on coming. And Jordan wants to ask you about the 148 phone messages.
Yeah, James, and I have to say, I like to appreciate, I've been interviewed by you a couple of times, and it's fun to ask you questions. And but you also broke a news story today that the Clinton Foundation, one of their executives, this is just one, left 148 phone messages for Hillary Clinton's top aide, Cheryl Mills. You've got transcripts of some of these. I've tweeted this out for people, posted on our Facebook page as well. And this is just from one individual at the Clinton Foundation and to one person at the State Department. And James, as you said in your reporting, this is there's nothing even close to comparable to this when it comes to other people. I mean, people can make calls to State Department officials, sure. But there's nothing even close to this kind of back and forth.
Right. Now, so these are documents. These are actual call logs maintained by the staff assistants to Cheryl Mills. She was the chief of staff to Secretary Clinton at the State Department for the entire 4 years. And these are documents obtained by our colleagues over at the conservative advocacy group Citizens United and shared with Fox News. These are about 180 pages of call logs. Here's where you basically, like, it's a computer spreadsheet, in essence, where they enter the name of who called, the date, the time, and whatever message they left for Cheryl Mills. And by an exponential order, an individual named Laura Graham, who just happens to be the chief operating officer for the Clinton Foundation for during that time period, leaves more messages than any other individual or any other nonprofit or foundation, 148 of them in a two-year time frame. And most of the messages are simply, please call, but occasionally we get a glimpse of what was on Laura Graham's mind when she was calling Cheryl Mills. At one point, she mentions WJC is looking for her, and she wants to talk to Cheryl Mills before she calls him back. Another message left for Cheryl Mills by Laura Graham makes reference to our boss. I had to ask the State Department yesterday. They said they wouldn't speculate on who that is. I said that I didn't ask you to speculate on who it is. I simply asked, did Laura Graham and Cheryl Mills ever have the same boss during that time when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State? And, of course, they said no. Now, we don't know, absent additional information, that anything nefarious was transacted in these calls. But nonetheless, the evidence surfaces at a time when mounting questions are being asked about whether the Clinton State Department kept an appropriate distance from the Clinton Foundation.
This is, I mean, the hits keep on coming here a mile a minute. And James, appreciate your great reporting on this. Thank you for taking time out to be with us. And I suspect we're going to hear more as this continues. Thanks, James, for being with us today.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. There you have it. James Rosen, our friend from Fox News, doing a fantastic job in these reports. But folks, at the end of the day, 148 emails. The Crown Prince of Bahrain asks for a meeting, doesn't get it, makes the $32 million commitment on a donation to the Clinton Foundation, gets the meeting. I mean, think about this for a moment. The exchange between James Rosen and Jen Psaki, the State Department spokesperson at the time, deleted. They say it was a glitch. Logan already explained that it's not a glitch. Now we know that it was not only ordered, but the order actually said the exchange between the Fox News reporter and the spokesperson to be deleted. This is a cover-up. There's a lot more here, whether it's the Iran deal or the Clinton Foundation. We're in court litigating with those things. We're only here for another 30 minutes. You may not be getting the whole hour. Logan's going to let you know right now what you can do. Then I'm going to ask you to do something.
That's right. Each and every day, you get the full hour of JSEC Live online on ACLJ.org, Sirius XM, channel 131. And you can join us over on Facebook and Periscope. We're broadcasting live there right now, video, television style, quality video and audio. And you get to talk to us during the breaks. Great way to interact with like-minded and sometimes not so like-minded individuals.
All right, we picked up some ground on our matching challenge yesterday. Still about $60,000 off. You can make a big difference at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. That's how we get into federal court to fight the State Department. ACLJ.org.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Senate and the State Department with the discussion with Iran, and there's some real significance here, ends up being ordered, according to the Office of Legal Counsel, ignored in the report's own conclusions. But there's a point of the report that says evidence basically of editing, of tampering, an intentional act. It is now clear that the legal department said, look, here's what happened. An individual, the State Department, contacted the people in the video team and said, edit the portion that has Jen Psaki, the spokesperson of the State's Department, and her conversation with James Rosen about whether there was, in fact, the State Department lying about when the negotiations and discussions took place. Now, this comes on the heels, by the way, of the State Department still denying it and saying it was probably a technical glitch, saying they're embarrassed. There may be a Federal Records Act violation here. Iran is now under a travel warning so that Americans shouldn't go there. Why? Because they're being taken hostage, exactly what happens when you pay a ransom. And that's not just the beginning. It's not even the tip of the iceberg. Then you've got the fact that 148 emails come out with, or phone calls and a phone log with heads of the Clinton Foundation talking to the chief of staff of the Secretary of State. And the Crown Prince of Bahrain cannot get a direct meeting with the Secretary of State until he promises a $32 million gift to the Clinton Foundation. And Than, you're saying it was clear that the request was made and Hillary Clinton initially denied the meeting, and that's when he went to the other venue, so to speak.
Yeah, Secretary Clinton is on those email chains, Jay. It's made clear to her that the Crown Prince is requesting a meeting. She declines it. You know, it could be for any number of reasons, but the point here is this. There was an official request made for a meeting. The secretary herself declined to do it, but then lo and behold, when the access is brought through the Clinton Foundation, the meeting happens and access is granted. And real quickly, Uma Abedin and Cheryl Mills, the other thing that James Rosen made clear in the last segment, she also has terrific influence with the former president, WJC, that he referenced. That's William Jefferson Clinton. So if you don't think that Cheryl Mills and Uma Abedin have the ear of both of the Clintons, I think that put that issue to rest.
Folks, that's why we're in federal court right now, American Center for Law and Justice versus the State Department, because we're going to make them under oath have to answer this. And that is going to be a big deal. And we're in federal court right now. In fact, your support to the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign allows us to do just that at ACLJ.org. All right, Logan, let's do this. Let's take some calls and comments. I know a lot of people have been holding for a long time. We've had a lot going on here.
All right, let's go to Phil in Oklahoma.
Hey,
thanks,
Phil.
For holding, Phil.
How are y'all doing?
Good, sir.
Today.
Good.
Yeah. Hey, I got a. When you first opened the show up, you run a little sound bite in there and it talked about malicious intent. When did malicious intent become a defense to negate breaking the law?
Yeah.
I mean, if I were to go and get a speeding ticket, all I'd have to do is go and say I didn't mean to.
Right.
There was no intent, and that negates it, right?
Yeah, so malicious intent. Their line, the defense line here, is there was no malicious intent. We weren't trying to hide anything. However, the law is gross negligence. So the whole theory of the case doesn't match the law. But the fact of the matter is the FBI director caved, whether he was told to cave or was not told to cave. He caved under the pressure. And frankly, the FBI is looking ridiculous as the hours tick by. All right, let's take some more calls. Or actually, let's take some comments coming in from Facebook and Periscope as well.
Our comments are pouring in. The question, someone came out and said, are you going to take her to court? And does that really do any good? That was from Jennifer.
Well, yeah, it does, because look what happened with the IRS. I mean, we took them to court. Not only did our clients get their tax exemption, but we just won at the Court of Appeals, and now we get to go to the trial court to establish the constitutional violations. When the president tried to stack the National Labor Relations Board, went to court, went to the Supreme Court, we won there unanimously, 5-4. When we try to fight the president's executive action on amnesty, what happens? We went to court, we won that. So, yeah, going to court makes a difference.
All right, yeah, other comments coming in. So why do Clintons keep getting away from these crimes? One person just
said, them.
I just mailed in a donation to the ACLJ.
We appreciate that. That's great, because whatever you donated online there becomes a matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. So we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. It allows us to go to court, and you can make a big difference again at ACLJ.org. But we've got a lot more ahead. Jordan's got an analysis coming up, folks, you're not going to want to miss, because what's going on here is worse than pay to play. It's outrageous. And it's the American people being taken advantage of. You fight back, our fight back, in the courts, in the U.S. District Court. Back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
I think I'm going to play that. We have that video loaded. If we don't, I'm going to play it at some point because it's worth playing. I mean, this is so beyond belief here, what's happening. But let me say this, that the fight on this is significant. But Jordan's uncovered some more information, and this is like note-taking time, folks. This is how corrupt this situation is right now.
So we now have emails that have been released by WikiLeaks. And I don't think this shouldn't even have to come through WikiLeaks because these were all State Departments. These weren't private. These weren't right. Gmail. This shouldn't even have had to have been a hack. This should be something that was available via FOIA. But it's out by WikiLeaks. James Rosen, I didn't want to put him on the spot and just ask him about it because he had just tweeted it out. It wasn't his story. He just tweeted out, so it got my attention while he was on, that there are emails now, and I'm reading them as we speak, between Cheryl Mills, who is the chief of staff, was the chief of staff to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and is now one of her top advisors, always has been, longtime aide, and the head of the Clinton Foundation, the CEO, Doug Bann, and another individual, discussing a former President Bill Clinton aide to be installed as the U.S.-backed Prime Minister of Haiti. And this is just a few years ago, 2011. And this is on their State Department email. So you see the collusion here, taking the former Clinton officials, and this is between Cheryl Mills and I believe potentially Hillary Clinton. This is that HDR email that she had at the State Department, statedepartment.gov. So again, public records, not doing this offline. Talking about the U.S., not just saying, hey, which candidates are good out of this field, but literally backing someone because they are related to the Clintons and a top advisor to Bill Clinton. So you see how they were using every potential resource, person possible, whether it was money, whether it was relationships, to install people of power into positions, not just in the United States, but in other countries, including Haiti, which was still recovering from earthquakes. And you know what's important there? Lots of contracts, including the guy who recommended him, a major Clinton Foundation donor who's an entrepreneur in Haiti. He's of European descent, so he's not a black Haitian or Creole Haitian. He's a European Haitian, owns most of the development and was doing all of the development post the horrible earthquake. So he wanted to install an ally. Why? That's how you get those contracts.
Yeah, so the Wall Street Journal reports that no other couple in American politics could offer what the Clintons have to sell. That's from the Wall Street Journal. That's not me saying, I'm just reading what the Wall Street Journal is saying. Fan, the question I ask is, are the American people, in your view, getting numb to this? Because every day there's something new here.
Well, if Hillary Clinton is on that chain, and I know we're still looking at that, Jay, I don't think they will be numb to the fact that they are trying to install a Clinton Foundation employee as the prime minister of another country, and the Secretary of State is aware of that. That is really, really big news if that is the case, Jay. And the other thing is, people should remember this, too.
I need to say this, Dan. We shouldn't be shocked because it was, after all, friends of the Obama administration trying to basically cause Benjamin Netanyahu to lose his prime ministership, which failed. But again, this was them intervening in the heads of state. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, that's actually exactly what I was going to say. They're trying to put their people in while opposing the people they don't like that are leaders of our greatest ally in the Middle East. But the situation in Haiti that Jordan is uncovering, that's really even worse because there's no Clinton Foundation tie, at least that we know of, when it came to Bibi Netanyahu's campaign.
Right,
there is
Obama.
A Clinton Foundation tie. In fact, this is a Clinton Foundation employee they're trying to install.
Well,
this might be the biggest news of all, Jay.
Successfully, not to cut that up, they successfully installed him as prime minister. He got the appointment, so before the election, and he ended up resigning. I don't think he resigned out of any kind of issue, so I'm not, about him. It's just there was a vacancy. So they got him appointed,
and
it was a business guy in Haiti of European descent who wanted the rebuild efforts post-earthquake. So he wants to develop Haiti into like this tourist destination, a huge donor to the Clinton Foundation, who asked that this guy who works for the Clinton Foundation, we figured out, Office of Special Envoy is what he did. So he was their Haiti rep for the Clinton Foundation in Haiti. And they got him installed between 2011 and 2012.
So the question is Hillary Clinton on the chain of those emails, which I'm going to have Will lead a team? Let's find that out.
I think that's her. Okay. But I'm not 100%.
We're going to find that out. That's number one. Number two is, remember, the Clintons always had this affinity for Haiti. So we shouldn't be shocked. All right, Logan, let's go right back to the phones. And also, phone lines are open at 800-684-31. We'll also get some more comments in.
Yeah, let's go to Terry in Randolph, New York.
Hey, Terry.
Doing, thank God.
I can't hear Terry. All right, we think we lost Terry. Let's go to Mary Ellen in Chicago.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Listening to your discussion about this pay-to-play and the Bahrain deal, it's like if Hillary is elected, we won't really know who's running our government.
Well, look, I mean, here's the reality. The reality is this is the way Hillary – I'm not endorsing or opposing. We're just laying out the evidence. I mean, because we've also said Donald Trump's certainly not taking advantage of this, and this is a big deal. But it looks like we even got a bigger deal that we've just found. Is this correct?
Reported that was one of her emails on the secret server.
Yeah, so this was Hillary Clinton making sure that a Clinton aide to her husband was installed, because the way Haiti works, there's a president and a prime minister, and they kind of share power. The president's a bit more powerful, but the prime minister oversees the parliament, and so it's kind of a unique system. Yep. And the Haitian politics have been horrendous, even post-earthquake. It's always been a very difficult place. But they made sure that this guy, they were talking about installing him in the emails, they got him installed. So the emails come from 2011. By 2012, the end of 2011, he's installed as interim prime minister for a year. And the reason why this happened, it wasn't Hillary Clinton's idea. It wasn't Cheryl Mills' idea. It was the idea of a major donor to the Clinton Foundation, who's a Haitian entrepreneur, who I guarantee you, post-earthquake, wanted the rebuild contracts. And in fact, if you look through, he is the largest developer in post-earthquake Haiti.
There you have it.
And a huge donor to the Clinton Foundation.
So this is the reality. This is different than Huma Abedin yesterday. We were talking about that, whose mother, and she was on these letterheads of this Muslim periodical newspaper calling for horrible acts of discrimination against gays, lesbians, women. I mean, just ridiculous. The stuff would be outrage if it was anybody else, but they get away with it because why? They're the Clintons.
I've got some experience in the developing world politics. It's not all pretty, certainly, but when you are the State Department, you've got to make sure. I mean, we have to make sure, as well as the ACLJ and our European affiliates, what politicians, if any, you try to associate with. Right. And honestly, you work with them for your goals. You don't work for them. But see, that's the difference here, is that they weren't working towards a U.S. goal. They were working for a business goal for someone else. So it wasn't to put someone in power that would be great for the U.S. It was to put someone in power that would be great for one of their big donors.
Let me play Matt Lee asking Mark Toner this at the State Department yesterday, because the whole thing smells, folks. I mean, if you're just looking at the smell test, it doesn't pass.
One of your colleagues said that the State Department was sure that there was no impropriety involved in any of the contacts between this building and the foundation. Is that still the case?
That is still our belief, yes. So there was no impropriety, that this was simply, you know, evidence of the way the process works, and in that any Secretary of State has aides who are getting emails or contacts by a broad range of individuals and organizations.
So, Than, you put in the chat just now in our inter-studio communications that normally, and it's true, there's degrees of separation between the principal here, the Secretary of State, and this other nefarious kind of activity. But that's not the case here.
Yeah, this is what makes this even worse than last week. I mean, last week when we were talking about Uma Abedin and Cheryl Mills facilitating favors, we had every reason to believe that the Secretary of State was in the know. These emails that Jordan's talking about, she's on these emails.
Yep.
She knows that this is happening. She knows there's not only no separation between the foundation, she knows the foundation is actually the conduit to her. There's no degree of separation now. It makes it much worse.
But here's what's so interesting. What the media is talking about with Donald Trump today is the fact that he's postponed his immigration speech amid questions that he is changing his position. So that becomes the talking point for the media on the Donald Trump side, instead of it being that this is, in fact, the State Department mess under Hillary Clinton, which is unbelievable.
And this, to me, goes to the fact that Donald Trump still does not have a great senior advisor, because a great senior advisor would have known that that meeting he had with that Hispanic group, which was supposed to be off the record, but they basically exposed, should never have happened. They shouldn't be trusted. They weren't vetted properly. So they went on TV and put Donald Trump in this mess. I guarantee you, he was just sitting in the meeting like any other presidential candidate saying, I will consider this. I will take all of what you're saying into account. And now it's being spun as Donald Trump is changing his position on immigration. I don't believe he is, but he got set up by groups, these Hispanic groups, which, again, not to cast a whole group, there's many Hispanic Republicans.
You work with many.
And I spent time in Miami,
where
it's the largest Republican city in the country.
Right.
The only major city in the U.S. with a Republican mayor, Cuban descent, Latin Americans, who are plenty of good Republicans, who are also against illegal immigration because of its effect on their community. But most of these Hispanic political groups are to the left.
And you gotta
after what Donald Trump said about the wall and sending people and the rapist comment, they're gonna wanna hurt him, and now they have.
Yeah, they have. All right, back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, we're gonna get comments in from folks too, because the phone lines are jammed up.
That's right, phone lines are jammed. So if you have a question or comment, you can always put it in on Facebook and on Periscope, and we'll get to them as soon as possible.
Don't forget our matching challenge campaign. We made up some territory yesterday. We need to make up some more today. ACLJ.org for that. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. And by the way, that's how we get to fight the IRS in court. That's how we broadcast this. That's how we go after the State Department in federal court. And that's how we win. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Yes, everyone. Last segment, we're going to take your calls. You've been holding. We're going to take comments as well. Logan, you want to start with a call or a comment?
Let's go ahead and take a call. Okay. Because Alan's waiting on hold for almost half an hour. Alan,
I'm going to send you our new book. Actually, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Alan. I'm going to send you, as soon as it comes out, our new book, Unholy Alliance, which is on Russia, Iran, Syria, and radical Islam. And it'll be out September 20th. You can pre-order it now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. But, Alan, when it comes out, I'm going to get you a signed copy because you've been holding for 30 minutes.
Alan, in Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City. So, Alan, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question is, if Hillary actually becomes president, what is to keep her from selling presidential favors through the Clinton Foundation?
Well, you know, it's supposed to be illegal to give classified information outside of a classified source. That has not stopped the Clintons in the past. That has not stopped them now. So, I mean, we're dealing with that reality this very moment. So I think we have to be cognizant of the fact that the rules almost have changed here. And we're going to have to be very vigilant, assuming if Hillary Clinton is in fact president, we're going to have to be really vigilant. Well, look, we're vigilant no matter who's president, of overseeing what's happening. And that's why we've set up our Government Accountability Project in Washington, D.C. I'm going to be up there meeting with that team next week. So, folks, this is serious. We're on top of it. We're already in multiple litigation. We just authorized more litigation yesterday. We'll probably have no less than a half dozen of these cases in federal courts against various government agencies, IRS, Department of Homeland Security, State Department, maybe the Department of Justice.
And I love this, Dad, because, you know, Hillary Clinton and her campaign have now announced she won't take any foreign donations if she becomes president. Really? But you know what? Every one of these...
The Clinton Foundation will.
Yeah, well, she knows. She said the Clinton Foundation won't. But here's the thing. Every one of these individuals, like the soccer player story said... I mean, you're dealing with the nonprofit world, right? We're not talking about the business or tax world. They can transfer money to a different. I mean, they all have U.S. businesses. U.S. businesses, it's not. They don't have any restrictions on donating. So as long as they've got a U.S.
A
U.S. company, a subsidiary, a U.S. subsidiary, they could still take as much money. Now, imagine how much money it's going to cost to get a meeting with the president of the United States. If it costs million plus to get a meeting with the Secretary of State, imagine how much it'll cost to get a meeting with the President of the United States. I bet the Clinton Foundation will be getting a lot of $5 million to $10 million donations.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take some calls, and Logan, you'll work some comments in, too.
Yeah, work some comments, and let's go ahead. Let's go Diane in Illinois.
Hey.
Diane, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a question. When you write out the questions for her to answer, are you going to get it done so we have the answers before the election? And are you going to also include follow-up questions to your questions that you can't?
So you're talking about the discovery phase of litigation, which is when you actually get to ask questions. So here's the problem. In reality, in our case involving the State Department, that is not likely to transpire, and we'll be able to do that anytime before the election. Here's what it's going to come down to. Will, during the debate set for September 26, will these questions come up during the debate, and how can they not? But a more fundamental issue is, will the Trump campaign on their side, and if you're pro-Hillary Clinton, you're not going to like this. If you're pro-Donald Trump, you're going to wonder why they haven't done it. So we don't tell you how to vote. The fact of the matter is, this should be a major campaign issue, but it's not. What is a major campaign issue today is, why did Donald Trump cancel his speech? And Fan and Jordan, that is part of the problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that Donald Trump has got put in this position. I heard the individual who met with him from one of the Latino groups, Hispanic groups. Not uncommon, by the way, for presidential candidates to meet with groups. Now, you do vet them. The ones that, you know, if they're La Raza, if they're far left, you say no. The ones also, but there's plenty of kind of moderate who have not been, even like I was talking about being in Miami with a lot of Hispanic Republicans who are good conservatives, good Republicans. They're not so happy about many of the comments he's made. They're against illegal immigration, but the lumping in Mexicans with all these different horrible things. So he's got a lot of work to do there.
Right.
But he's not going to convince them by saying he's going to change his position on immigration.
So is that what's going on? But here's the question: Is he calls this off the speech today? Because is it because he They're trying to figure out now how do we handle this mess.
If he changes his position on immigration, it will be Donald Trump's demise, because that is the only way. That is his top issue. That is how he got through the primary.
Yeah, but
build the wall. It's going to be the best wall. It's going to be the greatest wall.
Let's get some comments
Mexicans
on that.
Mexicans are going to pay for it.
Yep. Yeah. See if we can get some comments coming in.
If you got any comments, get in about that specific thing.
Do you think that's going
to
be an impact?
We'll
be able to get it on phone, but we can put it up on Facebook or Periscope. What do you think, Dan?
I fully agree with Jordan on the immigration issue. He's got to stick with that one. I would also say this. Donald Trump himself is literally the only one who has the opportunity to get Hillary Clinton to address these new allegations firsthand. He'll have that opportunity in the debate. I don't pretend she will respond, but he can and should put her on the spot repeatedly. But it's strictly up to him. No matter who's staffing him, he's got to do it.
We'll find out in about 5 weeks. All right, let's go. Who's next?
All right, let's go to Charlene in Texas.
Hi, Charlene. You're on the air.
Hey, got a question. With Hillary, with her server and sending emails to whoever, those emails are going to somebody, and the person on the other end, they're implicated. If she sends them to the president or the Department of Justice, whoever,
Charlene, some did go to the president. I'm convinced that's why there was no prosecution, and there never would be a prosecution, because some of those emails on the private server went to the president of the United States, upon which he responded. So that you're exactly correct. But the FBI's closed the investigation on that. Now that's why we're pouring through these other avenues, and our friends at Judicial Watch are doing the same thing. But the reality is, this is you're going to get to the truth here. We're going to have to litigate. That's the way this is going to come out. We did it with the IRS. We'll have to do it here.
All right, let's continue on. Mark in El Paso, Texas.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
I wanted to tell you that last night's practice with your band was really good.
Thanks.
And I enjoyed it.
Great.
And now back to the Trump. I believe that Trump's his ideas are good about the special prosecutor, and get the emails to be open, because they speak loud and clear, and that the American public is ready and willing and waiting to
find
out what
exactly. But here's the problem. The special prosecutor would have to be appointed in such a way that it's not going to happen. I mean, I don't disagree with the sentiment. It's just not going to happen politically.
It's exactly the same as the IRS case. Donald Trump is 100% correct, and there is exactly zero chance that the Department of Justice will appoint a special prosecutor.
All right, let's do another call comment, Logan.
All right, let's go. Terry, New York, you're on the air.
Terry, go ahead.
Quickly.
My thing is that, if Hillary Clinton were to be elected, she is a psychopathic criminal, and she will not be able to change. There's so many scandals
going on. This is what happens when, there's scandals going on, but Jordan, as it is, when you're president of the United States, you're still under scrutiny, but the rules change. It's a different ballgame.
I mean, this is not the Nixon time period.
Yeah.
I mean, the independent prosecutor is gone. Donald Trump's talks about the special prosecutor. Guess who those are appointed by? The President of the United States.
That's not gonna
happen. The worst thing that can happen to you is an impeachment. Right now, there's not even enough votes for that to happen, and the Senate looks like it may flip to Democrats. So guess what? I mean, everything changes.
All right, last call. We're going to get it in here.
Yep, Joni, Myrtle Beach.
Joni, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for everything that you're doing.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
I just want to let everybody know that all Trump supporters are wearing red when going to vote for Trump. And there are so many Trump supporters not even taking the polls.
It's so funny.
There's like 10 people in my family.
Joni, I mean, very quickly, I will say there are a lot of Trump supporters. It's a silent group who are slightly embarrassed or just a little concerned about how it may affect them because of the
publicly,
even dangerous shit. About putting a Trump sticker, or even telling their friends.
Sure.
But ultimately, most people, it's going to be a choice between Clinton or Trump. There will be others on the ballot, but one of them is going to be President of the United States.
There you have it.
Says
all right.
Who?
What'd you say?
Says who?
You got.
Says a third party has not been successful. Even Teddy Roosevelt couldn't pull that off.
Right. All right. So that's going to do it for the broadcast. Today. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. You'll be getting an email from me this afternoon. There's going to be a lot more ahead. Stay tuned with us on Facebook and Periscope. We got something for you, a special treat. Talk to our radio audience tomorrow.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your